before. Now it's on.
Now everything you say. Can and will be against.
Dan, hit yours harder.
Sorry.
There you go.
I didn't hit it yet.
All right, we'll try that again. Oh, I can hear myself. Open our Freight Rail Dependence Use Advisory Committee for June 6th and start with a welcome. We have a couple of new faces, so we'll go around the room real quick. John Spencer here on behalf of the Clark County Parks Board and filling in his chair. Jim.
Jim Pearson, Clark County Railroad Advisory Board.
Daniel Weaver, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Hansen, Railroad Advisory Board.
Eric Temple, Railroad.
Ken Cash, Railroad Advisory Board in the Port of Vancouver.
Lloyd Lycan, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Schaefer, Railroad Advisory Board.
Brittany Bajent, Railroad Advisory Board and representing the CREDC.
Jose Alvarez with Clark County Community Planning, Project Manager.
And Jenna taking notes in the back. Smile. Before we get into the agended logistical items, we had a request to move sewer up on the agenda. So with the group's permission, right now it's sitting there on 4D as in dog, and I'd like to move it up to 4A as in alpha. No objections, we'll just move forward with that. Has anybody reviewed the notes and want to comment or pass them into officialdom?
Well, I have one request, and that was as a result of my letter that I sent to the advisory board to reconsider the size of the overlay. Is that on the agenda, or is that something we need to discuss at this
time? Now is as good as time as any. I was going to bring that up, but I hadn't yet. So my thought, and Dan, you might want to reiterate or summarize what all was in your letter. My thought was what we should do with yours and really any other requests is plow through, get the work done, and then circle back and re-question those areas that people have either brought up or, you know, once we've reviewed it, found out where we are, see whether it still makes sense. Does that make sense to you, or do you?
My issue actually depends on how you develop it, then, in my opinion, because that's part of the problem.
Why don't you give a quick synopsis of what your letter was, and then we'll...
Well, my concern is that after going through all the ramifications of what's going on with the overlay and the conditions, size of parcels and everything else, that we're going to end up with a very small footprint of usable property. And so I would like to circle back, and I'll give you the reasons why. And this is there are many small parcels that don't want to be in the overlay, and there's large parcels that were already rural industrial that have been left out of this overlay that are under contention. And large parcels are needed, as I said at the very beginning of this process, large parcels are needed to entice people to develop property within the Clark County area. The legislation allows us as Clark County to set those parameters now and to set it so that it's meaningful for us to develop property for job growth. And that's the whole purpose of this legislation was job growth. As you said from your discussion with Linda Wilson, is that job growth is the primary driver of this legislation. And the width of the boundary, as I understand from Jose, that we've expanded to already requires us to do some kind of environmental studies.
No.
So that's not true?
No.
Well, that's what you told me before. the last meeting.
Well, whenever we do any code amendments, we're going to have to do environmental analysis, but and I can show you on the map. I created a map per your specifications, and I can show you the area that we've already done the environmental analysis on that was the basis for the original map, and I think the quarter mile is within that. It'll be clear what the distinctions are and where additional environmental work would be needed if we went beyond that.
Okay. So the larger parcels would also create the condition where our screening and setbacks and all that requirements could be more clearly defined and would be more practical. We could do more screening, more setbacks, and create an environment that would protect the sensitive properties and the homes next to the industrial park. But right now we're carving down so much that we have very little left over for industrial park. And there's already some industrial property up in Brush Prairie that could be included in this process, which would make the whole thing much more palatable to do the setbacks and screening, etc. And ending up saying that again that it's this, we have a small footprint for a lot of work that we're doing here.
So he definitely has some good points. My take on that was, you know, basically, I want to get through our process, get everything in place, basically do our work, and then circle back for issues like that. Dan's comment to that, to my process, is, yeah, but might change how we do things. So I get both sides.
If we change the boundaries, it's going to change how we look at things here, too.
Yeah, so what is the will of the committee? Would you rather circle back on Dan's stuff now, or would you like to go back to it later?
I am not pleased with what we have done or what we're doing. I want us to simplify, make easy. If this would run off anybody that wanted to put an industry on it, an industrial park out there. I personally, if it won't make it simpler and easier, consider me voting against it.
Okay. How does that affect whether we move forward with taking a second look at the boundaries right now?
Probably doesn't. I just needed to think.
Okay. Amen, then. So we've got one person saying, yeah, just do it. You guys, sorry. Okay, so let's, if I may, what would you guys say, 4A or 4B? In other words, do we want to talk sewer first, or do we want to review the boundaries first?
I want to review boundaries first.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we'll put that as 4A, then boundaries, then 4B will be sewer. Anything else before I jump into regularly agendaed items? Okay. Meeting notes from the last minute, the last meeting. Has anybody reviewed and want to move to pass them? Please. Take a minute to skim them now, perhaps, and as soon as somebody's ready, it'd be awfully nice to be able to vote them forward.
Sorry, I had to find them first.
There. One side of your packet. Thank you.
any concerns, I move that we approve the minutes. I guess that's minutes as submitted.
Do we have a second?
I wasn't here.
Oh, I don't have a vote. I feel like
I can't second.
All right. Move to and second it to pass the minutes. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions carries. Ancillary to that, staff asked that we also vote on the use table, which comes right after the minutes. The minutes are pages 1 through 8, and the use table is 1 to 4. Yes, sir.
I did want to make a proposal on the use table because that was something that came up recently.
See, I already forgot.
Yes, yes. So at the risk of becoming very unpopular, let me say the word asphalt up front. So I was contacted by a major company, and there was lots of positive things that came out of the conversation. 100 full-time family wage jobs, over $10 million of investment. They want to reopen the entire northern portion of the line from Chelatchy down to Brush Prairie, which currently is closed. About 2,500 rail cars a year, which is enough to support that portion of the line. Also means that the county starts to receive rent off the line. But as part of their operation, not the entirety of their operation, they do need to put in an asphalt batch plant. We had voted, I believe it's section 324. We just sort of put a big X there without really getting into any conversation. Because it's petroleum-based, and because the way freight rail-dependent uses is defined, crude oil is not allowed. The product that they're using does not qualify for that exception. So what I'm suggesting to the committee is to consider the ramifications of not allowing asphalt. The big complaints about asphalt, odor. I talked to these guys, and they say technology has changed a lot in the last 16 years. What Lakeside Industries was proposing and the odor they would have created, it's not the same at all. Their products now, the modern asphalt batches now, almost reduce odor to zero. If you look at people near the Livingston Quarry, where they're complaining about 140 loaded trucks a day, which, you know, both directions would be 280 trucks. You know, in my world, that's one train. If you look at the videos that they produce with the trucks going past the school bus stops and stuff, they're pretty scary. In this case, it would be one train per day each direction. And these guys aren't Lakeside Industries. The two big complaints I've heard are odor, which apparently has been mitigated. A lot of technological advancements in the last 16 years. And it's also the way Lakeside conducted themselves. And you know, I've talked to these guys, and they're just not the same. And I don't know of any other area of certainly modern human existence where we're allowed to judge an entire group by the actions of one. We wouldn't accept that in any other thing. And if one asphalt company acted badly, that does not mean the others will as well. These guys, I talked to them about some of the concerns the neighbors had. They're very much into buffering. I asked them about putting trails in. They're happy to put trails in. I asked them about even putting in like a playground or a park for the kids, some slides and stuff, and they're open to that as well. They want to be good neighbors. They want to be proactive. They don't want to sneak in like sort of Lakeside did by coming in at the last minute. They'd like to meet up front. But they wanted first and foremost to have that changed. So I'm proposing that 324, I think it's 121. Is that the number? You've got the big book there. Oh. Or do you not have it
so
on you today?
It would have to be.
You didn't bring it today?
Oh, I can access it.
I think it's 324121.
But for purposes of our discussion, we can just simply say
asphalt.
That the recommendation is to put a subcategory under 324 for asphalt and make that a permitted use or conditional use?
I would think conditional. They need the odor specifically. They need to address, and they need to do it the new way, not the old way. If we let them in here,
John has experience in that area.
First of all, the county doesn't regulate odor. It's the air pollution fee. And there's two asphalt plants operating in the county right now, and both of them use vapor recovery systems on their tank. The only time there's any smell at all is if once they bash the asphalt into the trucks. You can get a little blue smoke off that, but that's it. So, and that's been the technology for a long time. In lake-size defense, and I never thought I'd say it in lake-size defense, a lot of the problem that happened with the priority was what was caused by the county. The county told everybody they were putting in something called rural industrial land, and the stories in the newspaper were about a repair shop for farm tractors. And I don't think they had a group like this, but I think the commissioners were doing it themselves back then. But they just took all the uses of heavy manufacturing and put them into rural industrial. So when Lakeside applied for their asphalt plant, there was no requirement for any public notification. There was no requirement for any public hearing. And the only reason it even got to the point where it did was they started bringing in equipment before they got the permit. So Lakeside is a pretty scooping company in the state of Washington. Probably one of the biggest. They probably have 30 asphalt plants in the state. So, like I told you outside when you asked me about an asphalt plant, he said, it's not Lakeside. I said, I don't care if it's Lakeside. Lakeside's got the bucks to put things in right. And the plants are running off 117th. I don't think there's been any complaints on it. And what I do like is that if you're going to put an asphalt plant in Clark County, put it in a big buffer area away from everybody else. Don't put it to the grocery store in Brush Prairie.
So Mobile Home Park.
In favor, but I do agree it should be a conditional use.
Yeah.
Any other comments on that?
This North American Industrial Classification System, Eric has to haul everything that's on that list. If they present it to him, you haul it, don't you, sir?
Yeah. So by federal law, I have to carry anything that is sent to me reasonably. But the difference is once it gets off the train, unless I directly transload it into trucks, which would not be the case here, then it does get into county land use. So the county would have to permit an asphalt batch plant.
Now, this list that we've gone through here for two meetings, and now 2 weeks later, we're already challenged, and it's already no good. Well, I shouldn't say no good, but it's already presenting a problem that's eliminating something that we are considering. I would consider adopting the table 4.230 in its entirety, and then it'll be regulated by the landowner. He doesn't have to sell to anybody to put anything on his property.
Could you speak closer to the microphone so the people can hear you in the back?
I would propose that this table 40.230 would be adopted in its entirety, and it's already here 2 weeks, 2 weeks into its life, being a challenge on something that needs to be considered. And the property owner, he would regulate. He owns a property. He don't have to sell it. You don't have to sell it to anybody, he can regulate what goes on his property. So this would be my feelings, to have the table as it reads. Let's not fight with it.
So if you do it as it reads, that would mean excluding the asphalt.
I think what he's saying is he wants to include everything from the table.
Everything is on the table.
Everything.
God, just make everything a...
Yes.
As much as I want to ship cars by rail, Lloyd, and I love your idea on some levels. I think that one of our jobs here is to balance the railroad, the county's railroad, the needs of all the citizens of Clark County who own the railroad with the people in the neighborhood. I don't think it's a good idea to just blanket allow everything. I think we've been fairly precise, and I think we've covered every reasonable commodity I could ever think of shipping other than this asphalt batch plant. So even though part of me loves your idea as a business owner, I think just from a public relations standpoint and political standpoint, I think it's probably not going to fly. And then also the law itself does prohibit crude oil and some other products that, so I part of me likes it, Lloyd, but I don't have a vote, but if I had a vote, I'd vote no, honestly.
Any other comments on the idea?
The only other comment I have, say somebody comes and they want to put in a widget plant. Well, widgets aren't covered here. Widgets haven't been invented yet. We can't visualize this. We're making rules for something that might come along that hasn't been invented yet. And so
one thing, Lloyd, on this use table, to change a use on this use table does not require a comp plan change and future meetings like this. They can go right through the Planning Commission and the Council, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be changed even after what we do here. So it's what you're talking about. If some new use came along that we had not envisioned, they could add it in a relatively short period of time if that it was positively received by the community.
Right, and that applies to all of our codes. Our codes, we can't envision the future, so whenever something comes up, we make a determination to see if there's something, if it's similar to something we already do, and if it's not, we can add it to the code through the process that was
You're
described.
They're a work in process, then?
It's always.
Okay.
You just defined government. It's a work in process.
So what's the length of the procedure if you want to add a code in there?
So it has to go through our Planning Commission and County Council, and it can be done at any time throughout the year. When you do a comprehensive plan amendment, you're limited by GMA that you can only do it once a year.
Right.
So as things come up, we have the flexibility to act on it, and so as long as it meets the process.
Does it go through a public hearing? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to propose that somebody make a motion to approve the table as with the suggested amendment. But before I do that, I thought it might be wise to open up for public comment. So, Kent, would you mind moving your... Yeah, and come on forward. I am going to hold to 3 minutes, as always. State name and social security number, please.
No, thank you. MasterCard
number.
I'm Kim O'Hara, and I wrote the letter. I don't know if you all read it. It was in the public comments about reconsidering the permitted use of a slaughterhouse in that area.
Yes.
So I'm requesting that you reconsider that, since you are going to reconsider asphalt. Please reconsider that. I don't know how much more you want me to say, but I mean,
why don't you refresh everybody's memories on what you're...
Because I remember what I wrote.
Basically, it was the idea that these things can
be... It's environmental, it's financial, and it's, I couldn't think of a better word, optical. Given that you've read about the dairies in Oregon who have issues with dealing with animal waste and methane issues and environmental... contamination of, and that's a living dairy, so you can imagine what the effects of a rendering place or a slaughterhouse would be on the environment and the runoff and the kinds of problems that you would have to deal with and the waste products you would have to deal with. I don't know what kind of infrastructure and how that's going to be defined, but it seems to me that's going to take a special kind of something to deal with those kinds of byproducts. Financial, who's going to pay for all that? Is the county supposed to pick that up? And you've got neighborhoods, you've got people, you've got houses, you've got families living there. I don't see how you can possibly buffer a business like that with people living around the perimeter, around the edges. It just doesn't seem like it's a use that would be good in an area like that. And I would hope you would reconsider that.
Thank you.
I agree completely, by the way.
We had a big discussion, or at least a moderate discussion around that.
I don't see any reason for it.
And I don't remember why we decided to include it versus not. Does anybody else?
You know, it's really, I'm originally from Iowa, South Dakota. It really depends on the size of the plant. If it's a small custom plant, slaughter doesn't cause a problem. But if it's a fairly hefty plant, you do have issues with it. Because we have a number of small communities that have slaughter plants right in town. Between the town I lived in, on the edge, I would consider them medium size. But it's nothing a large size. But there's small custom plants that do a couple, 300 for specific products. So when you remove all plants, you get away from the small plants, and you'd have to put some number size on it, but do away with them all. But there are plants that work fine in communities, but they're small. Just to have an experience.
It's my community, so do y'all want to live there? I mean, because I already do. So it just, and I keep hoping that you'll consider that as you look through the list and what you would like there, and think about, would you like to be sitting there looking out your window at a nice buffer, but you're still sitting there looking out your window? And, you know, there's a lot of people that are looking out their window at that.
I kind of concur with that. I don't know what modern slaughterhouses look like, but I've eaten dinner at a restaurant a half a block from the big slaughterhouse in Omaha, Nebraska, where your Nebraska steaks come from. It's not a pretty smell going into the restaurant.
You don't want a large slaughterhouse.
No.
I'll tell you that right
now. No, you don't want a large slaughterhouse.
Not in Hong Kong.
All right. Thank you. Let's continue on with public comments. We can come back to slaughterhouses before we make any vote.
Can I make another request that when people speak, please bring your mics right to your mouth. It's in front of you.
I'm sorry. Was that
too high? I think you were fine, but
my name is Joyce Christensen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked, from what you said, I gathered you are now talking about extending your business all the way out to the end of that railroad.
So the rail line already runs to Chulachi,
right.
So we're not talking about extending this use table or the overlay to the end. There's already a pre-existing quarry there. We would just be shipping by rail car what they're already producing. But the rail track is already there, all the way to Chulachi.
No, I'm well aware.
Okay.
My property abuts it.
Okay.
But outside your current overlay.
Yes.
So if you're going to change the overlay, it...
So we're not changing the overlay. This is a... So there... We already under... the laws of Clark County, we could ship up. We don't need permission to go north of Battleground. We just don't go there because there's no customers. So there's a quarry that would like to open up and ship by rail. The alternative is, you know, hundreds of trucks. So I think it's a better alternative. But you apparently have a concern about opening
it's
back
going
up
to
for
increase the number of cars and the number of. Railroads the number of trains that are going by, right?
It would probably result in one train per day, yes. And right now there's zero except for the volunteer group BYCX. Depending on where you're located, I'm not sure where.
I live at on 142nd where the rail crosses over from
159. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Is that Brush Prairie?
Right.
Yeah. So you're in Brush Prairie. What he's wanting to do doesn't change where you are at all.
So how far down would you be taking those?
What I'm proposing might change where you are, because I'm proposing to extend this corridor that we're talking about further up into Brush Prairie.
It just seems to me like there would be a lot more people that were would be interested in being at these meetings if you're going to be running quarry materials down through there.
Well, I think I've represented accurately from the beginning that we would like to run one train a day. Currently, we run one train every week, week and a half, with one or two cars on there. And some people have described that as quaint or cute or, and I got to tell you, if that's really what the county wants to do, let's just pull the railroad out of the ground, because you can't make money doing that. It's not serving the purpose that you guys bought it for. So that would be our response. I don't think one train a day is too much. We're not talking 60 trains a day like BN's main line. But, you know. Huh? Well, it's a locomotive with a certain number of cars behind it, but it's still one train. So, depending on their volume, it might be a locomotive or two locomotives with 30 cars behind it, but still, that's once a day and it's gone in 10 minutes.
Right, but that would be a real change to our standard of living.
But if they put something in there and they hauled it by semi, you're talking 4 to 5 semi lights per equivalent to each car. So take 30 cars and multiply that by 5, and you can understand what the traffic would bear. See, rail cuts down on traffic tremendously. So you got to compare what would happen if somebody put something up there and hauled semis up there versus hauling one train up there. Think about that.
Right, so that's probably, even though there's a lot of traffic coming out of Battleground now that goes by my place, with all of the construction, chances are the material from way up north is not going to come by my place. Anyway, that's just, I think you've clarified. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Anybody else? I think I saw one other hand. Yeah.
Carol Levin for Clark County Citizens United. I think the focus of this focus group has swayed off into another direction, and the focus of it was to determine the best use of 33 miles of rail. We've been doing some studies on parklands and so forth and trails and so forth, and I think there was too much emphasis on using that rail line for a trail rather than using it for commercial use. And since the county has the ability to function as an economic engine for the county with those easements, the legislation was critical to this county. So it recognized and enacted the Rail Preservation Program because railroads provide benefits to state and local jurisdictions that are available to economic development, highway safety, and the environment. So there's many good reasons why we should be using this rail line rather than using the country roads. Washington State Rail Mobility Plan includes the goal of supporting rural economies, farm-to-market, manufacturing, resource industry sectors. The plan makes clear that ensuring the availability of rail capacity is vital to meeting the future needs of Puget Sound. Don't ask me why that, because it's future needs for Clark County. Rail-served industrial sites are a necessary part of thriving freight mobility system. And the Tiger Grant just got done improving lots of rail system there in the city of Vancouver for many purposes. But the same thing is true for this rail line. There was huge dollars, federal dollars, put into the Tiger Grant that helped to improve the rail system in Vancouver. And the same thing could be true for this rail line if we just looked at it in an economic engine rather than looking at it as just simply recreation. So I think it needs to be taken out of the park, out of the trail system, and it needs to be moved into the economic development system as far as the county is concerned. the legislature affirms that it is in the public interest to allow economic development infrastructure to occur near rail lines. Doesn't say on the rail lines. As a means to alleviate strains on government sites. So not only will the rail line be to the advantage of isolating this industrial corridor, if you will, but it protects the infrastructure that's out there in the rural areas and the rest of the county in addition to that. So you're going to have a lot less strain. I mean, if you've ever been down now, when I came in, 503 and 502, and saw the, it looked like the ferry just landed. I mean, that's where people want to be. They need to have jobs to be able, they're commuting, they're using these systems and infrastructure way beyond its capacity. So we need to get the jobs where the people are, and that's what the GMA was all about. That's what the comprehensive plans are supposed to be all about. So hopefully you'll reconsider how you're looking at these things and consider the whole scheme and the whole scope of economic engine for that rail line. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. So going back to the use table, what's the group's druthers on slaughterhouses? Include conditional use or exclude?
Exclude.
Exclude.
I'd move we exclude them, yes.
I have a question. Who regulates the smell and the runoff? And
is clean
it,
air
do
agency.
We do that or do you guys do that?
The smell is with the Clean Air Agency. I'm not sure of the runoff. I mean, we just deal with stormwater, but I think there would be something that we would deal with respect to that.
Are we going to consider it or not consider it?
That was the question for the group. Let me put it this way. I would entertain a motion to approve the use table as presented with two amendments. One amendment is to include asphalt batch plants as a conditional use.
3241:1.
Thank you. And the other amendment would be to exclude slaughterhouses. It hasn't been moved or looking for somebody to say the word so moved.
I move that we accept this use plan with the exception of adding the asphalt plant and excluding slaughterhouses.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Just for clarification, you should probably say asphalt mixing plant because there's no batch plants in Clark County.
Okay.
It's a continuous mixing operation it uses now, so it should be called mixing plant.
We'll just go with the 32410, whatever the heck it was. I think the group knows what we meant, but thanks for the...
By the way, that's a conditional use on that.
Yes. All right, does everybody understand the votes? Additional comments or... Go ahead.
I do have one thing to say. And just correcting something I said earlier about the environmental analysis. The map that was originally done was within that area. When the other thing about the environmental analysis was that it looked at the uses that are light industrial. So that environmental analysis just looked at those. And so I think on page 204, there's a couple of items from essentially from the cement and concrete manufacturing that are X'd out that the group is allowing both as conditional and in one case one permitted outright. And just to let you know that that's going to require additional environmental review to what degree. But we'd have to look at that and maybe do a supplemental SEPA, but I just wanted you to be aware of that before you took your action.
If we do this right, it's going to take an environmental analysis for all this. risk. I'd like to be able to get the width, get the length, and get her done, and you got till the end of the year.
Any further comment? All right, with no further ado, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions carries. Thank you very much. That was good, actually. Move into review of binder materials.
Okay, so just past the use table in purple in your packet is just the development standards section that I wanted to work off of when we get to that point. Essentially, this is what the code would look like with the exception of the use table. We're going to sort of fold the use table that you just adopted into this section in table 4250120-1 on page 2. And I'll go more into detail when we get to that, but just wanted to let you know that that's what we were going to be working off of. Dan's letter is in green. We also provided you a map that's reflective of Dan's proposal, and I can go over that in more detail when we get to that point. And then in the gray pages are the comments that Eric had submitted dealing with the development standards, the landscaping standards, street standards. I think the general overall section of the code. And then I don't think you, at the very, I think the last two pages, we haven't looked at that, but the this is the county sewerage regulations, and talking to Eric, I made it suggested that if there was going to be amendments to allowing sewer, it's probably best to put in this section of code where there's an exception. So when we get to that, that'll be what we're looking at. And then the yellow table is just a tabulation of what we've accomplished and what's left to do. And then there are the public comments that we've received since the last meeting. Any questions?
Okay. Since it's on the agenda, I probably should open up public comments again. Any further public comment before we move over? All right, seeing none, there will be other options later. So now we are to Dan's email, and probably would be good to start by opening up the big map that they gave us and talk around that. Does staff have any comments about this you want to start us off with?
Sure.
Considerations?
So essentially what Dan had suggested was creating an overlay that went from the Vancouver Urban Growth Area, which is where the hand is, to the Battleground Urban Growth Area, and then a mile buffer on either side. And so this, the blue line represents the buffer. I think it's a little, we had talked previously about including parcels, so this doesn't include those parcels, it's just a mile buffer line. So if it intersects with the parcel, that entire parcel would be included, but that's just not represented in the map. So I wanted to be clear about that. The only other thing I wanted to show you was the area where we have done the environmental review from the 2007 comp plan and just contextualize that. So the area in green is where we have done environmental work on. So anything outside of that would require additional SEPA. It may go beyond just an addendum and may require doing an EIS, but the other thing is that, let's see if I can zoom into this, but the brush prairie area, this is where the asphalt plant was proposed, and I think that's still zoned for either heavy or heavy industrial, so you wouldn't need the overlay to get that. You'd already have, those uses are already allowed, and they'd go beyond even what you've adopted here because there'd be what was in 4230, 085.
I thought you guys changed it from heavy industrial to something new that it's like a new color. It used to be dark purple.
I don't believe so.
I was looking at the map earlier today, and some of that area up in that yellow zone, I don't know what they, or orange zone.
Oh, you want me to just take that layer up?
But I believe it's to the, looking at the map, it's to the right of and down in that orange zone, I think, is there are some other substantial amounts of other Lagler property in there. And if he sells out his dairy, it would likely sell out those pieces also, and they would be included in the overlay. Some of them are connecting and would be considered part of the industrial zone. It's that light blue there, isn't it?
No.
Light
blue, isn't it, Jose? It goes a little beyond that. No.
A little bit.
So it's the area in green.
So it's a middle.
That's Lagler, Koski.
Say again?
There you go. See the green on the right doubles the side and the change maps.
So I'll just note that if you go back to the bill that went before the state and the supplemental information for that, it included most of the Lagler property. And if we've already done the EIS on it, I think there'd be a strong argument to expand to that. I think biting off this big of a chunk as Dan represents would probably cause more trouble than we want.
Is there any requirement for it to be sort of equidistant from the rail line? Because Dan's proposing 1 mile. Can't we just go towards the Lagler side? I mean, when we're defining an overlay area, mm-hmm. we don't have to go the same distance both ways from the track, do we?
Yeah, I think you just have to provide the rationale for why you're doing it.
Well, a lot of those are subdivisions.
The thing I like about going wide on this, it answers a big question. Yeah.
What do you get?
Well,
you got to use a mouse?
Yeah. know, one of the problems that we have with the lack of property is you have 117th going right through the middle of it. And if you expand the boundaries, these two parcels here are costly. If you go half mile, you only get one of them. But if, you know, if Koski, and this is one
51st.
One parcel right here, and then you're into Lakeside. If Koski was able to team up, that would put an access to the railroad that doesn't require crossing Northeast 117th, which I think would be a big plus for everybody. The other thing is that this property is owned by Nathan Lagler. I think Dennis owns, he owns all of these. He owns this one, that one, and that one. So there's a possibility of another development over there. And then when you get on the other side of 159th, you know, there's about three good-sized parcels over there before you run into your book boundary of battleground. I like this. I really don't care that much about this because there's a lot of stuff and all these little two-acre parcels down here. You know, if they were not included, it wouldn't bother me one bit.
No, it wouldn't be me either, but I assume they're going to be excluded by the fact they don't qualify anyway, or are not going to be subject to that, because they're subject to it, but they're not going to be wanting to do anything with a two-acre parcel in the middle of nowhere. And you couldn't develop a two-acre parcel or even a five-acre parcel out there isolated by itself. This also takes into account the Mr. Cotton's property, which is now, he has one piece outside the boundary. I'd like to make a motion that we set the boundaries of the overlay to that as outlined in my proposal and on this map. I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Further discussion on that. Again, my thought is it's way beyond what has been presented to either the state or the county in the past. I think it's going too far.
I interrupted you and I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. Right. I thought you paused though for just a brief second. Jose, if we were to make this level of change, would we require going through a whole new public process at this point? Because we had the meeting at Prairie High School, and I mean, we're sort of now we're including a lot of people that were not noticed, and I just wonder if we're opening up. Obviously, I like the concept of adding more land. I'm not sure there's the demand for it this year, but I just don't want to end up in a position where we've somehow violated Public Meetings Act by not inviting all these people and noticing all these people.
Don't we have to go through another public meeting anyway?
So there are a couple things. The when we looked at the quarter mile that was coming up with a definition for near, right? And so this, if you're going to propose this, I would assume you're trying to change the definition from a quarter mile to a mile. This is just a reflection of what that would look like. When we take this to council and work session next week, we would put that in front of them. One of the issues we're going to talk about is that the change in mapping of the area wasn't part of the charge. I know there was interest in doing that, but so one of the items of discussion is going to be what will the process be for if we want to make changes to the map, because that's part of the once-a-year map amendment. The code doesn't have that requirement. We're proposing to do an open house and going out to the public and then going to the Planning Commission and having that public process. It's possible that we could do them at the same time, but that's going to be one of the items that we ask council about, whether it's the quarter mile or if you decide to do a mile, that would be something that we'll put in front of them and see if they're comfortable with going out to the public with.
So if we said a mile, they could always say less. And if we said something less, I guarantee you they'd never say more.
Yeah, the council will do as they see fit. I think our job is to make the what we feel is the best recommendation to them.
Well, to go back to an earlier comment, would it have to be an equidistant buffer around the area, or could we weigh more heavily up to the east or west?
I don't think there's anything that is limiting you in doing that, but you have to have some justification for that so that we can explain it to the public. And
yeah, you'd have to define it, and then you'd have to give reasoning why you defined it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, but on the existing overlay, they just put it on the west side of the rail, not the east side. So obviously, it's the way it's already done, they've made it not equidistant from the main line.
Say that again?
Well, if you look at the overlay, the red hash,
it's
only on the west side, mm-hmm. at the bottom part, not on the east side. So they've already sort of done that. It's already in play that they could be shaped irregularly. So we could technically include the entire SEPA reviewed area, and maybe that wouldn't open up a big can of worms, maybe a smaller can of worms, but by
doing this, though, we encompass a lot of property that could have future growth potential, not be used for some time, but future growth potential. If you don't have it available now, it's going to start being developed into housing developments very quickly. So you're going to lose that property that's currently along the line that's subject to being...
No, I understand, but there's... Just based on the demand that I'm aware of, I don't know that we'd get into that anytime soon, and I don't know that putting this overlay over that area would prevent them from doing residential, rural. I think that's already grandfathered in. He's concerned that people would put houses up on the resource land that...
Right. So, the resource is a 20-acre minimum, so you can't divide any further than that.
Exactly. But they could put houses up,
even
if it has the freight rail overlay.
Yes.
Okay. That's...
Well, the other thing is, this is right adjacent to the current urban growth boundary. I think there's a pretty good chance that next time they go through the review and extend the urban growth boundary, a lot of this place is going to be taken in. And then it's going to be able to be developed with rail and not rail. So you can have business parks, you can have... And once property adjacent to the rail is developed for something besides the rail, it's never going back. It's gone.
It's gone.
You're never going to see it again. I have a little problem trying to put the east side Lagler in and tell them we're going to find a way to put a no-impact, low-impact crossing across 117th. That might be a little problem. I can think of about a $10 million one that worked just fine. But to do it in a reasonable budget, I don't think that's...
That's the big sticker, is trying to get those two married up into a piece of industrial property that's meaningful.
So...
Can I call for the question?
I think you made a motion.
I made a motion.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and vote. All right. Seeing no further discussion, Actually, before I go there, does anybody object if I open it up to the public? So, quick opportunity for the public to comment, because we're making a pretty big change potentially here, and I thought it might be wise to give you all a chance to comment. Come on up. 3 minutes as always.
Well, just listening and just looking at that, the mile, just all one way, you're including an awful lot of parcels that really don't have any bearing on the railroad. And if what you want is the dairy and those pieces, as Jose said, if you can justify the language to include that, why don't you use the language to justify including that area that you want instead of slapping that thing all over everywhere? I mean, right? I mean, that's what we do, is we come up with ways to justify getting what we want. If that's what you want, figure out how to get that with the language without doing that.
And I will piggyback off that. If we were to vote Dan's motion down, there's nothing preventing us to putting a new motion on that adjusts this in some way. Any other comments?
No, just figure out how to get what you want without doing that.
Any other, please.
Joyce Christensen again, and I am well aware of how much land Liger owns out there. I mean, it is wide open. And if you're going to put an industrial park all the way out there, you've got Hawkinson High School, you've got Lauren Middle School, you've got a whole bunch of residents, you've got the golf course, you've got all of those new houses that are going in at the golf course. It just seems to me like you're changing the community quite a bit. And, you know, back when it was down here, which is industrial anyway, now you're coming out where it's rural.
Thank you.
Carol?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead and come up, Carol. Dan, you had a comment?
Yeah, I had a comment on what she just said. That industrial park also will bring a lot of taxes in for those school districts that are in that area, because the taxes from those industrial properties will be far higher than any residential or other things that you can put on that property.
Carol.
I don't even know why you have an overlay, to be honest with you, because the bill said that all land along 33 Mile is subject to the law. But so staff decided to do an overlay situation, and that's fine and dandy, I guess. There was already a railroad overlay on, so we got double railroad overlays on some of it. But we researched every landowner in that section that you had the court of section on, and there was very few parcels that would be able to be developed into industrial land. Very few. The county owned three of them for parkland.
Are you talking about the small?
The small quarter acre, the one that you just had. So, and of course we know the 2.5 and 5 acres all have homes on them, and they certainly aren't going to be developed. So when you take all of those parameters out, there was very little in the quarter mile. This looks like it's possible. And nobody has to develop into industrial commercial just because they're in the overlay boundary. It just happens to allow a lot more flexibility to the rail line and to landowners over possibilities for their land in the future. So I think this is a very good idea. If you're going to have an overlay between Battleground urban growth boundary and Vancouver urban growth boundary, is a very good start. So I think this is great.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Any further comments? Come on up.
Hello. I'm Susan Rasmussen for Clark County Citizens United. I think maybe Jose can provide you with a discussion on the definition of what a LAMRD is, L-A-M-I-R-D, right there at Brush Prairie and what those purposes are to serve.
So the state allows for LAMRs, which are, I guess, local areas of more intense rural development. And so the, let's see. Like I said, this green is rural industrial or heavy industrial. I believe the green is commercial. The darker green allows commercial uses along there. And then this allows for rural center, which are one in, we have two rural center zones, RC1 and RC2.5, which allow 1 and 2.5 acre parcels. And those are the light green.
Is that the light green the mobile home park?
Yes.
So you can replace businesses that have gone out there without going through an EIS or anything like that, mm-hmm. can't you?
Yeah, if it's already zoned for commercial or industrial, then it would just be whatever the proposal is on that site. Like the... this area here, this is where the batch plant was going to be. So it already allows that use. It allows probably more similar or more intensive uses than are proposed in the overlay.
Okay, I believe that area, Brush Prairie, went through an extensive EIS back in at least several times back in 99 after the county removed all the LAMRs throughout the county, mm-hmm. and then through a court action, they had to reinstall them, and with that, it went through an elaborate EIS then.
Right, for those uses which are commercial and more intense, 1 and 2.5 acre lots, but not for industrial.
So that, and all along the rail line, that endured an EIS for the park trail, didn't it?
I don't think so.
John, didn't that go through an EIS when the county
and if it did, it would be
trails?
And if it did, it would be for a trail.
Yeah.
So it would have to go through another one.
Because depending on the use that you're proposing, that's what you're evaluating.
Okay. I'd be curious to see the map when you took out all the residential, you eliminate the residential, and just see what parcels would be left that have an opportunity to develop. How many would there actually be? And why restrict it to the Portamora, or why restrict it to that shape at all, but rather concentrate on the parcels and their size and the opportunity for the jobs that they present. Go back to the intent of the law.
All right, that was your three
minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Yeah.
Jerry Winters, Vancouver, Washington. I look at the new map and the picture. What I see is a bent sausage, and I don't know how the public perception is going to be to, I know it follows the railroad, but when I look at boundaries, I would look more like at the streets could make a line, and on the east side, 137th Street is going to merge with 132nd right on along Lagler's property line, and that's when the county gets the money together, they're going to make that an improved road. I believe the reason is to help take the traffic load off of 117th 503. With a kind of a bypass road that will take some through traffic with a new and improved road. Well, that would put the boundary right on Lagler's side and run it down to 119th and On the other side, I'm not so familiar with, but when you get over past Winco, pick out a street somewhere there and make it more, make it blocked into two blocks, maybe an L shape or something. Find the right property that you need, and there'll be a more better understanding with the public without the sausage map, and you have kind of a blocked, some straight lines. And straight lines might work to the advantage of the railroad dependent uses too, because it'll give the property square things up, and where if they're looking for a 10 or 20 acre parcel, they might be able to get it squared up like the boundaries. And might work better for the buffers too.
Not a bad thought.
That's it.
All right, thank you very much. John, you had a comment?
Yeah, kind of along the line. I think with Dan's motion, this is kind of the first time we're seeing this as a group, is I think, after we have time to digest this, we'll probably want to modify it. Like I could see maybe taking everything out south of 119th. But right now, we have the board having their work session come up next week. And I think we should pass this to show them it's our intent to push this out. But we still want to have time to go through it and, take some of these things out that clearly aren't going to work. Like all the park property that's on the west side, that's not going to be here. And we can start taking out some of these smaller parcels and really get down to what's developable. But that's not something we can get done tonight. So I think this motion is more of a general intent, what we're telling the board, what we think we should get.
Okay, so my take on the way a elected board is going to respond to what we provide to them is they don't have time to go into our notes and see whether this was a general idea or whether this is an actual proposal. When I have something sent to me as an elected, I take it at face value pretty much. So if we're not satisfied with these boundaries, I would recommend we change them now, or at least get them closer to what we think we want. Or again, if you want to pass it as is, that's the will of the group. But just I would advise against sending something up and as a general.
We could workshop this into the ground by finding boundaries. I don't think there's any harm in the overlay, because if it's not developable property, it's not developable. So there's no harm in having a buffer like that. It's not about how it looks. It's about ease of interpretation. And by having a mile buffer, that's the easy interpretation. If we have to go and define up 30, 1,000 feet here and up and left and right and north,
also fair.
We're going to spin ourselves into a mess.
We're going to need more meetings.
All right, we're still in public comments. Is there anybody else out there who? All right, last chance for comments in this group. With that said, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Abstentions? Carries.
So I just want to clarify that you're amending the definition and reflected in the map?
So I would take it as the definition of near is now 1 mile, and the overlay zone is from city boundary to battleground boundary.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Sewer.
Sewer.
That wasn't fun enough. Let's talk sewer.
Well, we can make this fairly short if anyone believes that sewer is not allowed to serve the freight rail dependent uses area, either here at the table or out in the audience.
That'd be great. I am firmly in the belief that it is allowed, and would be happy to explain that position. I know that there are some people who have said that it is not. I think the law is quite clear and unambiguous on that point, but
I don't think we're not here to make legal. The county has already decided that it's not.
The county has not decided that, John.
No,
they have not. So I guess I'll go through it. So
you provided language in here somewhere, didn't you?
You're talking about public sewer.
I'm talking about urban facilities, which is the very definition of Ferrail dependent uses.
So if you say sewer, are you saying public sewers? Or are you saying on-site sewer?
Yes. So when I say urban facilities, there's a definition in the RCW, and that is public sanitary and storm sewer. That's urban facilities, along with other stuff. But those, the big difference between rural facilities and urban facilities is sewer.
So do you think that this law trumps the other parts of road management that says you can't expand sewer systems outside of your road boundary except for certain situations?
It doesn't trump it. It changes it. So this is a new law that was just passed. So in the argument on the other side is that this law does not change the Growth Management Act, pretty much. And that's not the case. This law was included in the Growth Management Act and obviously changed it because it was added after the Growth Management Act was written. And you have to go to the very definition of freight rail dependent uses, and you have to go to the intent section. There are plenty of attorneys, including the attorneys who wrote this law, that say sewer is allowed.
The attorney that advises Clark County said this is the law that you have to follow, and the county is going to follow it unless somebody tells them differently.
The county council will make their own determination based on the recommendation of this group and based on the recommendation of different attorneys and other people they hear from.
They already made that decision.
They have not made the decision, John. Once again,
I disagree.
I can take you to the records of the meetings. In fact, it was Julie Olson. I could probably pull up the audio if I needed to right now.
So, without getting into a tit for tat over whether it's decided or not, let's go ahead and hear Eric's proposal. And if we like it, great. If not,
well, my proposal, based on Jose's recommendation, is first to include infrastructure in the development standards and then link that to a change in .40370.020, which is the, what would you call that section, Jose?
It's the sewerage regulation.
The sewer regulations.
So the sewer, regulations he's talking about would be on page 1 of 3 of this green area. So after page 7. The developments, where does it discuss this in development standards, performance standards?
It's under development standards, it's page 7, just adding the letter G, infrastructure.
Thank you.
I take the definition of infrastructure straight from the Clark County Comprehensive Plan, so that is the county's definition of infrastructure. And then urban public facilities, which once again is right out of the definition of freight rail dependent uses, where it says such uses or such facilities are urban. So I just put in that language and link it to 40.370.
Is that language right out of the law? The definition 1.1?
So the definition of infrastructure is straight out of the
Clark County Comprehensive Plan.
Including the one?
No, one I added. So urban facilities is included in the definition of freight rail dependent uses. Freight rail dependent uses literally means buildings and other infrastructure, and the type of infrastructure it says such facilities are urban. But honestly, Jose, I'm having trouble finding the...
Well, while you're looking...
40370, the language, did you...
Oh, it's on the next page after 7.
It's on the next page.
Yeah. So just to check in while Eric's doing that, does everybody feel like they understand the issue on the table as far as sewerage goes? Not totally?
Not entirely.
All right, so let me give it a quick attempt. So, the new law, as you know, allows for the freight rail dependent use overlay. And there are two sides arguing whether or not that overlay is allowed to have a sewer connection. So right now, under Growth Management Act, you can't extend a city sewer line out into the middle of a rural area because that's part of the definition of city versus rural. What Eric is saying is that if you don't extend that line, then it makes our whole process kind of superfluous because you'll never develop a significant facility out here if you don't have sewer availability. And he also reads the law to say that it does, in this specific instance, allow sewer out there. The other side is saying, yeah, no, the law isn't that... The people who wrote the law weren't that good, essentially. And even if they may have meant that, they didn't say that. And that you cannot put sewer out there. So the issue before us is... In our recommendation to council, do we want to recommend that the code be updated to allow for sewerage out to this area? Is that a fair way of putting it? Did I say that good?
For a specific reason.
For the specific use of FRDU.
And once again, the important language is, you know, not just the definition of freight rail dependent uses, which is infrastructure and urban facilities. Literally in the intent section, the legislature finds there is a need for counties and cities to improve their planning under the Growth Management Act to provide much needed infrastructure for freight rail dependent uses. The whole thing is about infrastructure. The legislators are well aware of the issues with the Growth Management Act and the extension of sewer. It's been a big deal in the state. They knew what they were passing. It's not vague. It's not unclear at all.
Is there an argument over having sewer there, or is it just about the definition? Are people opposed to having sewer in the freight rail dependent use area?
Those who are opposed to the whole thing would be opposed to the sewer.
Using that as the hook?
One of the.
Okay.
I think if we were to pass this section at this proposal, it would be one more area litigated among many.
it would seem on the surface, not diving in, that there would be no need to have a freight rail dependent use zone without the ability to have sewer.
And that's Eric's arguments.
Anyone who's developed property.
Yeah, and frankly, I have talked to people on both sides of this one, and I see both sides. I tend to land on Eric's side saying, if you're going to have a development, you got to be able to develop, and it's going to be litigated anyway, so why not give it one more thing? I probably shouldn't say that on a public record. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Jose, do you? How was it handled in the rural industrial land bank? How's the sewer issue handled in there? As I understand, it was separately it was separately carved out and handled in some fashion.
But it's a different law.
Pardon me?
It's a different law. Urban Rural Industrial Land Bank has a separate law just for that, and then the rest of
it. And it says you can provide sewer in there?
I think so.
It makes sense in this case to provide sewer. If it was included in that law, why wouldn't it be included in this law? I mean, I don't know, that may be illogical logic, but
well,
at any rate.
So when the language in the Rural Industrial Land Bank that was put in our code was kind of squishy. It's not clear in that bill either that sewer could be provided or extended outside of urban growth boundaries. That section of code that precludes that hasn't been amended, wasn't amended as part of this bill, wasn't amended with the Rural Industrial Land Bank either, and that's currently under appeal. That's really the big hang-up we've had. I think Eric mentioned in his write-up, there's Supreme Court case. We had our own local case with the city of La Center and the casino where the county challenged their extension of sewer and prevailed under that law that wasn't changed. I know that we didn't take any action last year when we did the comprehensive plan policy language and the initial map to address sewer. Subsequent to that, there was a bill proposed by Senator Wilson to extend sewer outside of the urban growth boundary for industrial uses, and that wasn't approved by the legislature.
So basically, there's good logic on both sides of this one. I would take it. I don't hear anybody saying, no, we don't want sewer out there. The question is, which interpretation of the law do we want to follow, and how much challenge are we willing to stomach? I think this is really the question.
Well, we're making a recommendation to the council,
also,
basically.
Yes. Yeah.
So the council ultimately has the say, and I'm sure here more people speak on this. But as a group, I think it would be a good idea for those of you who want jobs. It's far more likely that we'll get jobs if there's sewer than if not.
And did you finish your presentation?
Yeah, it's basically the light blue section is what I added. It's on the next two pages. I took the definition of sewer tight line from King County Comp Plan, and then just added number four there. You can see, to provide public storm and sanitary sewer for fatal dependent uses, and they have to be tight lined so that they hook up to a specific structure. And that's really it. We're basically saying sewer's allowed. It's got to be tight-lined, which is how King County gets around this.
By tight-lining, are you saying other properties that would be intercepted by that?
Yeah, it would not allow additional hookups, basically. Yeah.
What was that? Good to know. All right. Other thoughts? Do we have a motion?
Well, one of the things that we talked about last time was, you have septic and you have public sewer, but does the county allow you to have a on-site private sewage treatment system?
Yes.
Like they have at the casino.
Right.
That is allowed.
Well, if you have to treat the waste that you're created on your property, and if you don't have access to sewer because you're outside of the urban growth boundary, you have to show that you can treat that.
It's expensive. It's inefficient. It's not a good use of land. It divides. Instead of sending it to a common treatment plant, you have all these facilities that now have to become sewer operators, right. And that's not their primary.
But isn't this exactly what happened with the casino? Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to hook up to the sewer. You said no because you're outside the urban growth boundary, so they put in their own system.
Correct. But the casino was not a freight rail dependent use, and
I
yeah, the law was changed.
I'm all for it if you can do it. I just.
Then make a motion, for God's sakes. Let's move on. I move that we accept this proposal as presented by Derek Temple regarding the sewage treatment.
I second the motion.
Okay, moved by Dan, seconded by Lloyd. Further discussion on this one? And I've opened it up on anything else. Is there anybody who wants to jump up out from the audience? Kind of saw your eye.
This law has been put into the Growth Management Act. It's under 3678030 and 9. Freight rail dependent uses means buildings and other infrastructure that are used, fabrication, processing, storage, so forth and so on. We all know that. Such facilities are both urban and rural development for purposes of this chapter. So that being said, then you move on to rural development. And this 030 is rural development in the Growth Management Act. So then you go to number 18, rural government services. Rural services include public services, public so forth and so on. Rural services do not include storm or sanitary sewers except as otherwise authorized under RCW 3678110, which is septics, private ones. Also, rural development can consist of residential, including clusters, and so forth and so on. So what it's saying here is that in the rural section of the RCW, you don't have, rural does not require urban services. Urban services are sewers, sanitary sewers. So, and this bill allowed for both urban and rural. That is where the environmentalists have an issue in the courts, because this isn't under the hearings board. They don't have jurisdiction. This is already determined here legally to be allowed, so they wouldn't be able to appeal it for some of these reasons. So it's kind of a dilemma for FutureWise, but it's there, and the law clearly says that either or. I mean, if you do government services, that's fine, but it's not required for this freeway.
All right, further comments?
I'll do a quick one from my seat. I'm not an expert on this, but I think there's such a thing as labor and industries. L&I has their rules that if you're an employer and for X amount of employees, you have to have a bathroom. And if you have this many more employees, you have to have 2 toilets and 2 urinals. You have to have a women's restroom and a men's restroom. Got to go somewhere. I think if you're asking to bring some businesses in and some employment, better give them a place to use the bathroom. Because I have porta pots.
Right. All right. I think we're good. All in favor of adopting the proposal as presented, which is basically the, make sure I'm saying this right.
G?
Yeah, item G, infrastructure under development standards, and then the changes as presented to 4370010. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carries. Very good. And after all that, we get to regularly scheduled programming. We are up to reviewing the existing industrial and rail-related standards, including dimensional standards table. Do you want to start us off on that? So we're back into the pink, if nobody saw where Jose was going, or purple, or whatever color this is.
Okay, I think under page 2, when we last left off last week, we were having a conversation about the lot setbacks, lot coverage, and building height requirements, and there was a conversation about minimum parcel size versus a minimum site area, and so I just wanted to clarify something for the group. So essentially the difference between the site development area and the minimum lot size, the minimum lot size is only used to determine the potential number of parcels in a land division, and it doesn't preclude development of non-conforming parcels. The minimum site development area just establishes the minimum size for the project, for the development of that area. It's not used for land division. If you had some areas that we've discussed where you have smaller parcels, 5 acres, and you have a minimum development area of 10 or 20 acres, the only way those parcels could develop is if they were aggregated. So I think for some of the concerns some of the neighbors have, that their neighbor might develop next to them, if there was a minimum site area, then there's a little more assurance that those parcels would have to be aggregated to at least whatever the minimum is before a development could proceed. The other issue is that in this area where we have the agricultural zoning of 20, it's a 20-acre minimum. And when we adopted our growth management plan in 2016, we proposed reducing that to a 10-acre minimum. We were appealed on that, and we lost, and we had to go back to the 20-acre minimum. So going anything below the 20-acre where it's related to ag, again, is going to be, could raise a red flag for appeal. Some of the other areas, we have an urban reserve overlay for the essentially the parcels north of 119th. Some of them are ag, also have an urban reserve. Essentially is to notify people that when an urban growth boundary is expanded in the future, that's an area we're going to look at. And so we put the urban reserve 20 on there to let them know that these are, we want to preserve larger parcels if possible, because we're thinking these are going to be non-residential properties, and so everything we hear is wanting to protect larger parcels. So that's the, right now, the only purpose the urban reserve designation serves is to prevent you from dividing property to less than 20 acres, although it is applied to a lot of parcels that are already non-conforming. But so hopefully that clarifies the difference between those.
So anything below 20 acres, the minimum lot size and the minimum site development is the same?
I mean, you can probably do a site development that's less than 20 acres, but you couldn't. I think we want to try to stay away from dividing into less than 20. But if that's going to create a conflict and you want to have them be equal so that if the site's 20 acres, there won't be an issue with ownership if you have a minimum site of 10.
So to move forward with that, what I essentially hear from staff is that on the bottom of page 2, on the table 40250120-2, the minimum lot area should be increased to 20 acres to match the most recent lawsuit. And it's up to us whether we think the site development acreage should be changed.
If we say there's 20 acres and somebody has 5 that's in the overlay, then he's out, right?
So which one? Are you saying lot area or site development? So if you're saying development area and they're less than the minimum you set, then they would have to aggregate. So if you had 5 acres and the minimum is 10, you'd need to find another 5 in order to do a development.
Even though they're already at the 20 acres, they're just not
conforming. Right.
So I shared the discussion we had in this committee last time with our Lands for Jobs Committee with CREDC and yesterday at our meeting, and they were comfortable with the 10-acre minimum size, and I didn't differentiate between lot size and development area. But that said, so our studies have always focused on 20-acre sites, but supporting the 10-acre site so as not to exclude smaller uses and seeing the more and more of those coming online. So the group was comfortable with what this group had talked about last time.
Yeah, from the phone calls and interest that I get, there's a mixture of the 10 and 20 acres. But given all the non-conforming parcels, which are less than 20 acres already, if we made it a 10-acre minimum site development area, there's sort of plenty parcels already available without subdividing larger parcels to get there. So I think we're covered with a suggestion of 10 and 20, 10 on the minimum site development and 20 on the minimum lot size. And that allows, I think, everything to sort of go forward. And so go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, the one thing that I know you're concerned about is what assuming he comes in wants 5 acres. I don't know. I guess that's something the group can discuss. I don't get a lot of interest in things that size, but it's possible.
But you're saying if we raise that to 20 acres, so a 10-acre parcel, even though it's in a non-conforming parcel, cannot be developed under this?
Yes, it could. So 10-acre would still be developed. You just wouldn't be able to take a 20-acre and divide it down into 2 10-acres.
And you could develop a 5-acre?
If you find another 5-acre beside it.
You'd need at least whatever the minimum
of
10
acres.
If
he raises it to 10, I mean, of 20, you're suggesting going to 20.
No, right? So there's 2 columns. What we're talking about is making the right-hand column minimum lot size 20 and the left-hand 10. That's what we're talking about. And I know you've expressed concerns about the 10, so maybe the left-hand column should be 5. But at some point, I think that the lots are too small, and then you include a lot of more residential concerns that I think we should be sensitive to.
If somebody wants just a transload, couldn't he do it on 5 acres?
Sure.
Do it outside.
Hmm?
Right.
They can do it on
outside like they do now. Right away.
But if that's all they wanted to do, I have other smaller parcels available further south. It just hasn't been a lot of interest. I mean, we have some transloaders, but
what is a transloader?
Train to truck, sort of directly.
Flatbeds coming with stuff on.
Got it.
So I think it's about balancing the concerns I've heard from the residents with growth opportunities we might have, and that's the only reason I come in at 10 and 20. That if you guys want to go 5 and 20, or what if that's? I don't have a vote.
Yeah, but if you're talking about all these setbacks and landscaping, we're talking about 5 acres is pretty small, pretty quick.
Well, yeah, if you're the guy that's in the middle of undeveloped property, there's no way you can buffer it or do anything and still be there. So it's
we're in the process in Spokane County right now. My wife inherited a farm on 800 acres, and she's going through Spokane County They will allow, they encourage 20 acre, but they'll allow a 5 acre short plat with permitting fees and everything that they regulate quite closely. And the intent was is to just subdivide that to sell off the farm out buildings and the house, and acreage in, encompassing that, and preserve ag land with the rest of it. So I don't know if that's specific to Spokane County or Clark County has that ability too.
We don't.
You don't.
For the purposes of just moving the discussion along, perhaps, what if we kept it at 10 and 20 and an exceptionally good, responsible industry came in that was looking for 5 acres, that happened to locate a parcel that was in a perfect location and everything was great? How tough would it be to then change to get them an exemption for that one parcel?
Strictly through the county to regulate.
Would they have to, if so, if they got an, could a company that everyone wanted to locate here get around the minimum site development area with some sort of exception from the council for a single parcel? Or is that not doable?
Well, one, you'd have to write it into the code. The other thing is that the council could make the change to allow some exception at that time with some well-crafted language.
Like any county to the west of the Cascades. And
yes. They just tried it and they got it back.
Yeah. So I understand we're talking about a 10-acre developable piece and a 10-acre lot.
20-acre lot.
Well, so we're talking about like the Lagler parcel, the 156-acre, could not be developed or could not be divided any smaller than 20-acre parcels.
But if it's already non-conforming,
if there's already a non-conforming 10-acre parcel, it can be developed. If there's a non-conforming 5-acre parcel, we're saying it can't. But that's sort of what we're talking about, is should we make it 5 acres or 7 acres or keep it 10? Or
I think we should make it 5, but that's fine. You know.
Are we simplifying this or making it more complex? I need to know. It depends on how I vote.
It doesn't matter what we do, Lloyd. It's going to be complex.
Few small parcels that are light industrial along the rail that are inside the river growth boundary that could be used for the small folks.
Maybe just likes to hobnob with the big folks, though.
Well, I'm looking for the 100 job, 200, 300 job guys.
Yeah, I know. I don't care. Whatever you want to recommend, Eric's fine with me.
Got a 10-acre recommendation on the table. So without getting into voting on every minor item, I'd like to suggest, it sounds like the will of the group here is to go with the staff's recommendation. Leave the 10-acre minimum lot, minimum site development, increase the minimum lot to 20 acres, and if we can, let's just keep moving and we'll vote on all.
I want to make sure I understand what that means. That means that if I have a non-conforming 10 acres, I can't do anything with it.
If you have a non-conforming 10 acres, that would meet the site development minimum of 10 acres, so you could develop that. If you had anything less than 10 acres, you wouldn't be able to unless you got to 10.
What's the 20 acres mean?
You can't
subdivide a 20-acre or greater any smaller than
20.
20,
right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
Cool. All right, let's keep moving.
Just like, whatever. That's not what the purple says, does it?
It says 10 and 10.
Right now, the previously said 10 and 10, and we just, right. I think we're agreeing to make it 10 and 20.
Yeah. Am I in the wrong purple?
Purple
page 2. Oh, it's up here. I was looking here.
Okay. All right, what's the next issue that we need to dive in on?
So, the lot setbacks, lot coverage, building height. Currently we have in, I think, all across the industrial is 100 feet. I checked with our building officials, and there's a maximum building height of 65 feet for type F buildings, which are manufacturing, which are what most of the uses are. And just trying to think of what manufacturing uses would go beyond that. For the neighbors, there's this whole concept of the buffering and then how far we go as far as the setback. And I think we have language in here with the 50 feet and up to, I don't know if it's up to 65, but yeah, in the building.
This is for buildings and not telecom towers or.
Right. Yep.
Where did all these figures come from and why?
Where did what figures come from?
65 feet and so.
That's in the International Building Code for Group F structures, which are essentially manufacturing.
So realistically, you're not going to get over 65 feet anyway, because that's what building code is.
Right.
So why not just make it 65, is what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, hang on a second. Well, what about silos and those things?
What?
It's a structure, and it's a lot of them over 65 feet.
Right. And I, in talking to, aren't they normally located near the water? Aren't they normally located near the water?
No.
No?
No,
no. They're along railroad tracks all the time.
Well, yeah. Right. So are we anticipating that we're going to produce or?
Wouldn't that be under the underlying ag zone?
But the building height, I can look into it.
I mean, usually we use raw materials, store raw material.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Well, I like the 100. You have another code that says you can't go past 65 for a certain type of building, but we're talking about things that aren't.
Yeah, exactly.
So group is saying just leave it as is at 100?
Yes.
Okay. Keep moving. What's next?
So the, let's see, minimum building setbacks are pretty standard. Um, 20 feet from the front street side. Um, 20 feet from the interior, there's the footnotes. 3 and 4.
What does interior mean? Between buildings?
No, so it's between lots. So there's either you're along a street or you have an abutting property. So if you're next to abutting property, that's interior.
So the buildings would, in essence, be 40 feet apart, 20 feet for each one?
At minimum, yes, correct. Yep.
And potentially greater. So is everybody good with it as is?
So,
any other discussion on that?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to point out the on the side and the rear, there's the footnote 4 that for building exceeding 36 feet in height, the setback shall be equal to the height of the building up to a maximum of setback of 50 feet.
What's the reason for that?
I think that's to protect views. Yeah.
Basically, the taller the building, the...
Well, so you don't want to cast a shadow on the rest.
Somebody, neighboring properties.
Okay.
That's a great trivia question. Impressive. Okay.
All right. Keep moving, so long as nobody's raising objections.
Okay. The next area is under number 3, the rail use plan. I think something that came from Eric's proposal to include, there's some existing language that's in the code that's similar for the, I think, from the Rural Industrial Land Bank, but it was slightly modified, so I underlined it as new.
So skimming through section 3, A, B, and C, does play off of the objection. Does anybody have objections? Otherwise, we'll just keep moving.
Move on.
Moving on. Number 4.
All right. So 4 is the measures to conserve, maintain, and enhance.
Can I just, sorry, one. Well, I just, we skipped the first section where there were some changes made. I don't know if you're going to backtrack to that.
Oh, back up to
back to the, well, we sort of started in the middle, but
come back.
Back at the very first part where it says purpose and applicability. Is that new language, Jose, from, because you have double underlined.
Right.
And single underlined. So is this new language?
Yeah, so the
very first page of purple, there's some
so the
double underlined we didn't talk about.
Right, the purpose is double underlined. And so when I drafted this, I was just putting the purpose and applicability statements in the code.
So not intended, or didn't expect that to be controversial in any way.
I mean, we should go over it. That's
but, yeah.
Well, it's new language.
I just have a question.
This is Vicki.
I'm Vicki Kircher. I'm one of the land use planners that will be reviewing this if it's implemented. And this may be just my naivete and not having been involved in this whole process. But I noticed that, like, through your definitions and throughout at different places, you use a short line railroad is referenced.
Yes.
Which is fine, but is it possible to include some sort of definition as to what a short line railroad is? Because I don't know.
It's defined in the law.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, and then maybe, I'm just saying, you know, we're administering this to people who come in the front counter.
Yeah.
And so it might be helpful
okay.
to have that included.
In
okay.
Then that's fine. I would just suggest including it in the code.
Okay.
Is my only suggestion because
I would say
I don't know. And
it's a good point. We omitted that, but yeah. It's,
yeah, I think we can just take that as a friendly.
It's just trying to administer things
that,
over the
yeah.
front counter. Sometimes
we can add that to the definition section.
Add it to the definition section.
Sure,
okay.
Makes good sense.
Thank you.
All right, so back to that purpose then. What do you guys think? Is the purpose good, or do we need to play with that?
But the only concerns I had, if you go back to the employment section where light industrial, heavy industrial, all those are, the purpose is very differently written. And under the purpose, it says, while protecting the long-term resource-based activity, and the law that was changed, the sentence that was added under the resource section talks about not interfering with agricultural uses, basically, on adjacent parcels. It seems like there's a conflict in the purpose in that the land where the FRDU will exist obviously will affect, in some way, its availability for resource production. So it at least needs to carve out something for the actual parcels.
Yeah. Should we just add in the word surrounding, protecting surrounding long-term resource base?
Well, the law says such regulations shall assure that the land adjacent shall not interfere with continued use in a custom manner, which was sort of one of my suggestions for the purposes to... We could lift the language from the actual RCW, or we could take the language from the existing industrial code, which is, you know, the purposes for a wide range of non-commercial economic development and employment opportunities. Or if you want to go with Jose's language, that's fine, but let's at least be clear that while that is
the purpose for perhaps lands adjacent to the FRDU for lands actually developed.
Right.
You know.
And I think the only caveat I would make is that if the lands are within the FRDU, but people choose not to do that,
yeah,
this would apply to that.
Yeah. But if they choose, if somebody's putting in development, that parcel itself obviously is changing.
Sure.
But what the law says, which I like, is you don't interfere with the adjacent parcel when you're doing a development. And that's, I just want to clarify, adjacent versus the actual parcel that's being developed.
Sure.
And yours seems to, it's just a little vague for my taste.
Okay.
So you actually put the proposal back, if you guys go to the green area just behind the map. And Eric, it's the second, back of the first page behind the map. And your proposed language here, Eric, is lifted straight off of the RCWs?
Yeah, I take it straight out of the RCW. That, you know, basically you don't want to interfere with the agricultural production on the adjacent parcel. So basically, the regulations shall assure the adjacent agricultural uses are not interfered with. It's page. Yeah, there's no page number, unfortunately.
So yours doesn't actually say anything about the adjacent lands, though.
Adjacent to the last one.
Adjacent to railroad.
Well, yeah, there's. So I put in two different sort of options. One is directly from the industrial use table. Or if we want to talk about protecting the lands, then we should go with interfering with the adjacent agricultural parcel. So there are actually sort of two versions in there. Sorry for the confusion.
So now I'm thoroughly confused. Where's the second? I see Jose's proposed, Eric's
proposed. Yeah, there's no page number. So the first one is the back page of the first gray page at the bottom.
Right.
That is lifted straight from Clark County's existing employment code.
Okay.
But then if the group feels it's important to mention that I made a different suggestion as well. I got to find it again. Oh, I'm sorry. I confused myself. So in the purpose, I took the direct language from the Clark County Employment Code, and I inserted the language about not interfering as opposed to Jose's proposed language on minimization, which comes later. Sorry. I got confused myself.
That's right.
All the different versions. So the purpose that I put in was from county code. But then I cover Jose's concerns later. That all is clear.
I almost as clear as running mud. Any thoughts on this? Steps, perspective? Six and a half does it together.
I think that this might have come from, I don't know if it was in the policy that we adopted.
Or is that instead of just saying land, he says adjacent land?
So I just want to clarify, I'm fine with Jose's proposal. I just want to clarify that it applies to land adjacent to what's being developed.
Yeah.
That's all. So through whatever mechanism.
So you just put adjacent in front of land, doesn't it? All three of those, or four of those, you should be okay.
So I'm fine with this proposal, as long as it's clear on that.
Okay.
So if we go with Jose's language, we just add the word adjacent, so while protecting adjacent long-term resource-based activity. Is that what we're...
Sure.
It's
Say again, where's that?
So I'm now back on page one in the purple.
Page one of the purple. If we just clarified that it's adjacent and not the FRDU stuff itself.
Right, which I think you're making a really good point. It does read kind of funny this way. So back on page one, top of page one, A, purpose. The second line, the end of the second line, gets the word adjacent. So it reads, while protecting adjacent long-term resource-based activity. And that's nice and simple, I think. Does that make sense to everybody? More or less on the same page? Cool.
All right. I already booked a later flight, so.
Oh, wow. All right. How about applicability, section B, since we're staring at double line stuff? Any comments to that from anybody? Pretty straightforward, I think.
Okay. Where is this? Oh.
So just below the purpose.
Yeah. Now we're changing the definition of adjacent.
Yeah, that we already discussed.
So we're just taking a quarter out of there.
Well, yeah, but then you have to go the top and bottom. You have to do
right, but again, we've already voted on that.
Yeah,
so
no, I understand that.
Too much about that.
And adding the definition of shoreline railroad.
Yeah.
Right. All right, I think we are back to four again, measures to conserve, maintain, enhance, yes?
Yes.
Well, actually, and you did bring up the time. We lost somebody. Are you guys good going for another 20 minutes or so?
Can we have a break? Can we have a 5-minute break?
Sure, let's come back at 8:15.
Didn't know we were going to work you that hard, did you, Lloyd? You do a lot of these night meetings?